Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much that there is a glorious day that's coming. And Lord, we want to thank you for being in control and allowing us to experience you here on earth in our life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And Lord, for the next few moments, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand what it means to be a partner with Christ, specifically, Lord, in the aspect of having to suffer because we are Christians. And Lord, I want to say, first of all, thank you for allowing us to be in a country where we do not experience severe persecution. Lord, we're having a lot of freedoms in this country that we live in to just follow you and talk about you and not be ashamed of you. And we don't have to do things in secret as believers. And Lord, there are a lot of believers who don't get experience that. But Lord, even with that said, Lord, we still have to deal with various levels of insults or just being mocked as believers or made fun of and misunderstandings. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be gracious as we are just representing you wherever we are. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Peter chapter 4. We are in a series called Partners Together. And we are taking a look at some key passages in the Bible that deal with partnerships, meaning a partner with God, a partner with Christ, a partner with one another, and just trying to unpack what that means and how it impacts our life, you know, throughout the week. Last week, we looked at what it means to be partners with God and discovered that we are partners with God in bringing people to Him. You remember we talked about that ministry of reconciliation and how we are, the Bible describes us as partners with God in pointing people to Him, bringing people to Him. You know, He's provided Jesus, He provided the cross, He provided the way of salvation and the message, and our part in it is to share that story. And so we looked at that last week. Now today we're taking a look at what it means to partner with Christ and what that means in dealing with suffering for Him. So with that said, in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll be reading in verse 12. The Bible says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder or stealing, making trouble or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. If judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail." Well, in verse 13, you will notice that the phrase partners with Christ, and the word partner refers to one associated with another, especially in action. And so what we're talking about, when you see that word partner, it means walking side by side, joining with someone in achieving a goal, going on a journey, accomplishing something together. And so here we're seeing that we are partners with Christ and we're on a journey with Him. We are going to do something with Him. We're going to accomplish a goal, a mission, a task with Him. Okay, we're partners with him. But here's the thing. When you're on this journey with Christ, when you're trying to accomplish this mission with Christ, what you're going to experience is you're going to experience some things that's uncomfortable. You're going to go through, be insulted because, you know, you're living for him and your values and all that kind of stuff. You're just going to experience that at some level at some point. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you are a partner with Christ. And as you live with him and make decisions based on his word and you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit and those things, you're going to encounter some type of resistance. And so I want to talk to you about how to deal with that, you know, as you are living for God at work or at school. Now, I want to give you four truths from God's word about some problems and how to face them. So here we go. Let's just dive into it. Number one, we're told problems should be expected. Verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Now, we are told that suffering, trials, problems, difficulties, whatever word you want to use, at some level, at some kind, they're going to happen to all of us. Now, before we get too far into this, I want to give you three types of problems you're going to face, okay? Number one, it is called common problems. Just common problems. This, Jesus said that the Heavenly Father gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Here's the thing. There are some common blessings and there are some common problems everybody is going to experience. And it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you are holy or unholy, if you're living for Jesus or if you're not, or if you care about God or if you don't, or if you care about people and you don't. We're all going to experience some blessings and we're all going to experience some problems. For example, you know, godly people and ungodly people both experience, you know, they lose their job, they have bad health, they get in car wrecks, they go through all kinds of stuff. Okay, so there are some things that you're going to go through that are just common problems. And so there are times where you're going to go through things at various levels of intensity, and you're going to go, you know, you might say, Lord, why am I going through this? Well, the answer is because, you know, it's just life. That's just the way it is, okay? You're just going to have problems, common problems. And it has nothing to do with how godly you are or how much faith you have. It's called L-I-F-E. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, it's just life. And Jesus even said, told us point blank, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Okay, you're just going to have it. Okay, so now that we started off really positive and upbeat, y'all feel good about life right now at this moment? Okay, everybody's going to have problems. Okay. The second one is called carnal problems. First one's common problems. The second one I'm going to call carnal problems. A carnal problem is a problem that is created by your own sinfulness. Your own selfishness, foolishness. If you look down in verse 15, Peter mentions this, and he says, if you suffer, however, he's talking to believers, if you suffer, however, it must not be for murder. You go off and kill somebody, okay, you get caught, you're going to go to jail. Lord, why am I in jail? I don't understand this, you know. I killed that guy. I know, what's the big deal, man? No, that's bad. Okay, that's foolish, that's selfish. You think, well, I haven't killed anybody. But he says, look, don't suffer because you're stealing. Well, I know I was over at their house, but man, I really had to have that TV, man. So I just took it. Okay, no, don't do that. No, because you're going to suffer for it. The same thing with just making trouble. Some people just make trouble. You know, you've been around people who, for whatever reason, just wherever they go, they just seem to get into trouble. They just make bad decisions. They just irritate people, you know. And then look at what the Bible says. It says, or prying into other people's affairs. Have you heard about so-and-so? We got to go over there and find out some more about that right there. You just get mixed in. It says, look, you don't want to suffer for that. Carnal problems, you're just being selfish, you're just being greedy. Now, he just gives four examples from one end of the spectrum to just your everyday prying into people's business. But as you're living your life, you don't want to create unnecessary problems because of just being stupid. Okay, that's what he's saying. Don't want to be foolish. Don't avoid that stuff. So you got common problems, you got carnal problems. But the third one is called Christian problems. And this is the one that Peter's talking about. See, these are problems, sufferings, trials, difficulties, whatever you want to call them, that you experience because you are a follower of Jesus. because you decided to obey God. And because of that, obedience, when you obey God and you're doing whatever you're having to do, you're having to say whatever you're having to say, you're saying yes to this or no to that. And when you're doing these things for God and it's truly for God, you're going to eventually bump up against folks who just don't appreciate it, don't understand it. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to insult you, whatever it may be. And it may just simply be, even just by saying, hey, I go to church, you know, I read the Bible. I mean, that may just be enough for people just to jump on you and to make fun of you. Have you ever heard of a place called Bass Pro? Yeah, you ever heard of that? Yeah, I used to work for Bass Pro years ago, and I was part of the crew that makes all the dead animals look nice. Okay, and we made all the set design things, you know, make sure they were clean and whatever they needed, or we rearranged stuff like that. That was part of my job. And my boss, the supervisor, he was not a believer. I'm talking on the other end of it. So one day we always had these little staff meetings, you know, at the beginning of the day, and there's probably, I don't know, 10 of us on this crew, and this is like the first week I was there, and he said, Jeff, he said, do you go to school anywhere? And I said, yeah, and I said, I go to Southwest Baptist University, you know, in Bolivar. And he went, well, what are you getting to? What are you getting a degree in? This is in front of everybody. He said, and I say, and I'm standing there going, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to answer the question. Because, I mean, I already knew where this was going to go just based on just how he is, you know, in just this one little few days I've been around him. And I said, well, I'm getting a bachelor's degree in Bible. Bible? Then, you know, if we were there, then it goes in. What are you going to do with a beep, beep, Bible degree, beep, beep, this, beep. And I'm going, well, you know, I'm just going to probably be a pastor someday, something like that. That to my reason, I wasn't sure what I just knew I was going to go in the ministry. And once after he found that out, man, it was like every day, you know, just some, you know, joke, some Christian joke, just mocking, you know, all because. And I'm just going, Lord, help me to reach this guy, you know, because he's just obnoxious. You know anybody like that? Okay, all right, you know. So, you know, and so every day I dealt with this guy. What I'm saying is that in America, you know, that's kind of the stuff you're going to encounter, and that's some of those Christian problems, okay, that you're gonna have to deal with, okay. And there's obviously tons of other examples we could give. All right, so now look at verse 12. We're still under this. We are told problems should be expected. So you know we can expect the common problems, but we want to avoid the carnal problems, but we are definitely going to eventually experience Christian problems as we continue to live for Christ. But in verse 12, the Bible says, "Don't be surprised." Eventually, at some point in your walk with God, the kingdom of heaven that you represent, the gospel you share, the biblical values you keep and stand for are going to be offensive to someone and will produce suffering for you at some level, okay? At just some level. Now, this can mean people may accuse you of things you didn't even do or say. They may accuse you, they may lie about you, they may spread rumors about you or even harm you physically, but as a follower of Jesus, this has been going on for 2,000 years, and Peter says, look, don't be surprised when this stuff happens. This is normal, okay? You know, there is Satan. He's the god of this age, and he's influencing a lot of folks, and it's just kind of in the sinful DNA, if we will, just to, you know, make fun of Christians, you know? And I mean, if you ever watch movies, I mean, it's really, really, really rare, unless you watch a movie done by Christians, you know, most Christians, they're predicted as what? Nuts. You know what I'm saying? Weird. They're just weird. And I'm going, I don't know any believers like that, you know, that would say that or do that. And so, that's the world we live in. Remember, we're aliens, we're foreigners, we're just passing through. This is not our home, okay? So he says, don't be surprised. Look at verse 12 again. He describes these problems as fiery trials. Now, this is interesting. This word trial refers to a painful experience for the purpose of testing. So there are some times in your life when you're going to be living the Christian life and it's going to be offensive to somebody, it's going to rub somebody the wrong way, and they're going to make fun of you or they're going to do something, whatever, and this is a test for you. At that moment, you're going to have to decide how you're going to react. You're going to have to decide, okay, am I going to honor God in this thing? You know, am I going to fight fire with fire? And so if they're going to beep, beep, beep me, I'm going to beep, beep, beep them. Okay? I'm not trying to be offensive going beep, 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 beep. If I was trying to be offensive, I would not go beep, 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 beep. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you just have to take the high road, be gracious, be respectful, you know, place a guard over your mouth, you know, and just love them, you know, like Jesus would. But he says it's a fiery trial. And verse 12 again, ends by reminding us not to react to these trials as if something strange were happening to you. Again, just going to emphasize this. When it does happen, you know, make sure you're emotionally and mentally prepared that this is just normal. Because, I mean, if you're prepared for it and you kind of expect it, you know, you're just going to react, you know, a certain way. You know, it's like my coach used to say, hey, look, when you score a touchdown, you know, act like you've been there before. You know, just, you know, you don't have to showboat, man. Just, you know, you can showboat at the end of the game when you won. But, hey, score the touchdown, you know, put the ball down, just walk off. Hey, it's normal, no big deal, man. You know, and the same thing when people just are insulting you or offending you because of your walk and your commitment, you know, it's just not a big deal. It's normal to you. And so you're going to react. It's easier to react to grace with grace. Now, number two, we are told problems have their benefits. Look at verse 13. Verse 15, look at it closely. The Bible says, instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. Okay, now, when you live for Jesus, somewhere along the way, you will be insulted because of your commitment to him, but Jesus himself said that you are blessed when this happens. Now, when that moment's, it's hard to think, I feel so blessed right now. Man, that's just so encouraging. That guy's cutting me down. He's making fun of me. Oh, look at that. He's using God's name in vain. Oh, now he's making fun of Jesus. You know, it's hard to, you know, to see that as being blessed. But however, Jesus, you know, his word says you're being blessed. Listen to Matthew 5:10. This is Jesus talking. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. Now, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So Peter is just echoing what Jesus just said. He said, look, it's normal. Don't be surprised. Just receive it, you know, and just remember that you're being blessed by this. God's going to honor this thing as you stay faithful. So since our focus is on Peter's statement, he highlights three benefits from being insulted, being suffering for Christ. One benefit he mentions is you relate to Christ more closely because you have suffered for him. You can relate to him more closely because you have suffered for him. Peter says it this way: these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Now, one translation describes this as sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Now, here's the thing. Here's what he's trying to explain. In our world, have you ever experienced this? If you've had cancer and you are talking to somebody and you realize they've had cancer, they've gone through some similar stuff, isn't there some kind of a, like this, you can't explain it, there's a connection immediately because you've had that, you fought cancer together. You understand what I'm saying? You ever connect with people like that? Or if you've lost like a son or a daughter, you know, and you find out this other couple has lost a son and daughter, and you seem like there's a bond that happens. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or if you're going through a horrible divorce, and then you find out somebody else is going through the same thing, it's like they understand you. Or if you have did some things in your life that hurt you and others, like you had an addiction of some type, but you've recovered and now you're on the right path, and you find out somebody else is going through the same thing, and you're talking to them, you get them, and you feel like they get you. Well, this is what this is talking about. When you suffer for Christ, there are some things that you are able to connect and bond with Christ that there is no other way to be able to bond with Christ with in that particular way without suffering for him. And when you suffer for him, you begin to understand him better. And you understand that he gets you better. And there's this connection and bonding that takes place. So as you stand up for Christ and whatever that looks like in your world, you're going to find your relationship with Christ becoming stronger and tighter and tighter. That's what Peter is saying. That's one of the benefits. Another benefit is the return of Christ becomes more glorious to you. Peter says, you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Now, the phrase wonderful joy refers to great joy, incredible joy, indescribable joy. So here's what's really happening here. There's more happening here than I'm about to explain, but one element of this is simply this. When you're suffering for Jesus and it's really getting intense, okay, the return of Christ looks better and better to you. I mean, think about it. When I was younger, I was living for Jesus, I felt great, I just got married, and I hadn't had a kid yet, but I had too much to live for. Jesus, I really want you to come back, but not just yet. My life's too good. But then as you get older, your body starts breaking down. You start becoming aware of sin in your own life more. You look at the sin in the world more, and you just kind of see where things are going. And if your circumstances begin to change, and then, you get a little dose of persecution or whatever, and it's tougher to walk for God because now God is asking you to do things that are a little beyond what you're comfortable with. He's starting to stretch you and all this kind of stuff, and you're going, Jesus, I'm ready. I am looking forward to you. You can come back today. Let's go. And some days you're just really get up and you're going, Lord, I'm tired. Come on back. Let's just do it. Can we just, it's been 2,000 years. That's long enough for you to hang around and wait. I'm ready. Let's go. But you understand what I'm trying to say. What he is saying is as you suffer and as you're obedient to God and as you partner with Christ and you experience these various levels of suffering, the return of Christ becomes more exciting to you, more joyful. And when that day happens, it's going to be finally, yes, it's over. That's what he's saying. A third benefit of suffering for Christ is you experience the Holy Spirit's ministry of refreshment. There's a refreshing aspect here. Peter tells us that when we suffer for Christ, the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. Now, rest upon you is not like how you would take a chair and sit down and you're resting upon the chair. That's not what's happening here. The word here, rest, means resting upon you in the sense of resting upon you to empower you, to give you strength. And so when you're going through that suffering for being a believer, when you're going through that suffering, what the Holy Spirit's going to do, and he does it in various ways, he will somehow, in that moment, he will rest upon you to give you the endurance, the patience, the strength, the wisdom, whatever it is that you need to get through that moment. You will find that moment of refreshing. He may not remove the problem. He may not change the circumstances. But what he is saying is, he said, I'm going to get you through it. And there are times when you are living for Jesus and you're suffering for him at some degree that you're going to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in unique ways that can only happen in that moment where you're being mocked or ridiculed. Case in point, back to Bass Pro. He's making fun of me. And Jesus, part of me was wanting to, throw down some theology on him, and start talking to him about, and just humiliate him. You follow what I'm saying? Because he lived a while. I said, my life's a whole lot better than your life. What, second, third wife? Where you at? I got one. And just anything, you know what I'm saying? My kids love me and like me. Your kids love you and like you, huh? What's up with that? Where are they at? Oh, they don't live with you. Oh, I see how it is. You see how the flesh wants to react? Now, I'm not saying that if your kids don't live with you, that you're something bad, but I was just in my head at that moment, I'm thinking, I just want to make him reevaluate his personal existence and how much better I am than him. Flesh, selfish. You see what's happening? Now, if he got mad, started punching me in the face, what happened is I'm experiencing my own carnal problems, okay? Because I instigated a fight with the guy, okay? But back at the Bass Pro, he said that there was a part of me that just wanted to retaliate with something, but there was a guard placed on my mouth, and I just felt sorry for him. Because he was lost, he didn't get it, he was blind. You know, what's the point of, you know, making fun of a blind man, blindness? And so I just had compassion for him. You know, and so at that moment, I had what I needed, even though he was making fun of me. Does that make sense? And I don't know what you need at the moment that you're going through whatever you're going through, but God says, he promises, it will be there. The Holy Spirit is going to refresh you, give you what you need. Maybe when it's over, you're worn out, but somewhere along the way, when you're even home alone, God's just going to show up in a special way, and he's going to speak to your heart. He's going to encourage you. Sometimes that refreshing may come through other people in your life where they just pray for you, encourage you, say the right thing. They just give you what you need as you are living for God, because living for God is not easy. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know, but it's hard to obey God, you know, with your finances all the time. It's hard to obey God with your emotions all the time. It's hard to obey God at work. And, you know, and when you're wanting to fit in with a certain group and be accepted, you know, you're fighting that whole compromising your ethics and your morals that you stand for, and the values you have. And you're thinking, what do I do? And you're struggling with it. Again, it's not easy. But God says he's going to get you through. He's going to give you that time of refreshment. Now, this brings us to number three. We're told problems should be evaluated. Look at verse 15 again. Let's spend some time at verse 15. He says, if you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Now, when we are going through a problem, a trial of some type of suffering, we should evaluate the problem. Verse 15 and verse 16 gives us at least two questions to ask. Okay? They're implied. The first question is my suffering due to my own selfishness? Now, again, this is where you really have to ask yourself, okay, are these people mad at me because I'm a believer, or are they mad at me because I'm obnoxious? Now, you could be trying to do the right thing and speak up for God, but you're just being disrespectful. You're just being rude. You're being obnoxious. You're just being offensive. It's not the gospel is offending them. You are offending them, okay? And you need to back up and say, okay, are these problems I'm having, is it because I'm selfish and rude and obnoxious? Am I doing stuff that's stupid, creating problems? The second question is, how can I honor God within this suffering? Because Peter says, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Okay, so the deal you have to struggle with is, okay, Lord, I'm not embarrassed because I'm a follower of you. I'm not ashamed of that. But Lord, it does bother me with how they talk about me and you. And Lord, how can I honor you, and how can I honor the person that's doing this, but yet defend you at the same time? You know, I mean, hey, if somebody's going to cut down and slander and badmouth my wife or my kids, you know, I'm just not going to stand there and say nothing because I love them. And in the same way with God, you know, I just can't just stand there and say nothing, do nothing, and say, hey, you know, man, you're talking about my God here. You know, I love him, and I know, you know, we have different opinions, but, you know, let's tone it down a little bit. But you'll have to find a way on how that works for you. And he's just simply saying, do not be embarrassed. You know, find a way to honor God in that moment of humiliation when they're making fun of you. Now, number four. We are told problems are a time to trust God. Verse 19, if you'll jump down there, says, so if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, now that's the key. If you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, Peter says, keep on doing what's right. and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. So when you're suffering for doing what God wants you to do, remember three things. Number one, keep on obeying God. Peter says, keep on doing what is right. Okay, because here's the deal. A lot of times, as believers, we'll be doing something that's right, and then somebody will challenge us in the sense of make fun of us, insult us, maybe even threaten us in some way. But we're doing what God has called us to do, and we're having to say what we need to say in respect, in love, in humility, and we're doing it, but because we're getting resistance, we want to avoid the conflict, so we stop doing anything altogether. We quit doing what's right. Peter is aware of this. Now think about this. Why would Peter be one to say, hey, when you're insulted for being a believer or challenged, don't stop doing what's right? I mean, you think about Peter. Let's rewind a little bit. Kind of a chilly night. Jesus is being on trial. He's about to be going and crucified. He's standing around this fire. And, hey, aren't you one of those followers? Aren't you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. This is Peter talking. No, I'm not one of his disciples. No, you got me confused with somebody else, man. I don't have nothing to do with that guy. And I think Peter is talking from experience here. You know, he had been insulted. He had been made fun. He had been challenged, but he gave in. And he is saying, look, don't do that. He said, just keep on doing what's right. Just obey God. Don't worry about it. Don't be embarrassed about being a follower of Jesus. Don't be proud of that name. And number two, he says, keep on trusting God. Peter says, trust your lives to the God who created you. The word trust means to entrust. It's a banker's term referring to a deposit for safekeeping. He says, look, man, just take the situation, take your life, take the results, take whatever may happen, you know, good, bad, and ugly. He said, and just entrust it to God. Just deposit it into God and let the chips fall where they may, and just trust God with the outcome. Don't worry about it. Just do what he's called you to do, and ever how it results, that's how it results. Okay, and he's saying this. Now, number three, keep on depending on God. Peter says, he will never fail you, or as one translation puts it, they use the word faithful, creator. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Jesus made that very clear. God makes that very clear in his word. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus, as you are just doing what he's called you to do, even if people are mocking you or insulting you or challenging you or whatever, God says, look, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to get you through this. I'm going to put some refreshment on you. I'm going to give you what you need to endure it. I'm going to help you recover when it's over with. And, you know, we're going to get through this thing together because you're a partner with Christ, even in the midst of suffering. That's what he's saying. So, as a partner with Christ, we should expect to suffer for Christ at some level. It will not be all the time. It will not be 7 days a week. It will not be, you know, high intensity for us here in America like it is in some places. But occasionally you will find yourself at a moment where you realize this is happening because you are a follower of Jesus. That's why this is happening. It's not about being obnoxious. It's not about being rude. It's not about creating a problem. But there is a spiritual warfare happening at this moment in your life with this individual or people, and you're realizing this is all about your relationship with Jesus, and that's why you're suffering. Whatever this thing is happening. If you are a believer of Christ and you are suffering because of your obedience to God and your relationship with him, and you are needing to talk with someone and you're needing to make a decision, or you just need some encouragement, or you just need some help, somebody help think clearly with you through what you're going through, we are here to help. There is a welcome card in your chair. Man, fill that thing out. Say, I just need to talk to somebody. One of us will get a hold of you ASAP. If you need to talk today, we'll hang around and talk with you. But here's the thing. You just say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. Now, here's the deal. Let's say you are a believer or not a believer, and you realize, wow, the problems I got, it's because I'm sinful, I'm selfish, and I'm foolish. I need to talk to somebody. If that's you, man, we're here for you. We've been there. We've done it. We all have our scars, okay? We're not perfect people around here. This, you know, Genesis Church is a place for new beginnings, and we believe you can hit the restart button and begin a brand new life. And it all happens in Christ. And we want to talk to you about that. If that's something you're interested in, fill that card out. We would love to sit down and have a real conversation with you about that as well. At this time, I'd like for the band to go ahead and come on back up and join with me. If you would, stand with me. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. And Lord, we've had it nice. We just haven't had a lot of persecution, a lot of suffering because we're believers. But Lord, for some in this room, there's been times, and some of it is now, Lord, where it's a struggle. It's a struggle to live for you at work, and it's a struggle to live for you at school. And Lord, we realize we need you, and Lord, we don't have all the answers, but Lord, you have placed us strategically, intentionally, by your sovereignty, in that classroom, at that school, on that team, at that job, around those people, and for a purpose, and we believe it is because you can use us there. We are your instruments. And Lord, we believe that you want to speak through us, that you want to love on people there. You want us to share, partner with you in sharing that message of reconciliation. Lord, I pray that as we do live for you and as we encounter things that do not make sense because we're following you, Lord, that we're just not surprised by it. Lord, we understand that that is normal. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, you glad you came to church today? Yeah. All right, did you worship God today? Yeah. All right, you received from his word today? Yeah. You going to do something with it? Yeah. All right, God bless you guys. Hey, wrap us up.